All right, everybody, it's another episode of the Eternal Athletes Podcast. We're here to empower athletes to glorify Christ with their game and pursue a life with Him for eternity. I'm Ryan. This is my lovely bride, Erin. We're former players, coaches, and current spectators and parents of two beautiful kids. And we love Jesus. We love sports. So that's why we host this podcast. So we have had a lot of great guests on, but the guests on today's podcast, he is super impressive in a lot of different ways. I mean, we're talking about a finalist of Mr. Georgia Football Player of the Year. You know, he's already a regional player of the year in one of Georgia's biggest classes, 5A. Yeah, a little bit of a big deal. So at 5A Roswell High School, you know, he led the state with over 4,200 all-purpose yards. So if you know, some stuff about football, that's a lot. Over 3,000 passing yards, over 1,000 rushing yards as a quarterback. All right. So I had a lot of the offensive production, a lot of the, you know, pressure, so to speak, on him. So he knows how to handle pressure. And he's accomplished a lot of great things in his life. But one of the more impressive things about him, and we'll dive into this, obviously, is his heart, huge heart, his huge dependency and leaning on the Lord in a lot of ways. So without further ado, Trey Smith, welcome to the Eternal Athletes Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
We are pumped, Trey. And it's funny. So one way we got connected with Trey is that I had seen, you know, sometimes I scroll Instagram. It's not my best character trait, but sometimes I do that, and sometimes it's great because you find some really cool things. And I remember seeing a video of Trey go viral, basically, really, not even for everything we just talked about football, but just purely for his heart and just caring of other person. Where, and we'll talk about this later on as the, through the podcast, but winning your homecoming at your high school, right, which is really cool, but immediately gave your crown to a teammate, or not a teammate, to a fan of the team, a classmate of yours, that was on the ballot but didn't win. And we'll share some clips of that video as well, too, so that you can see it. But I think that's the kind of stuff that stands out to me, right? Like, excellent quarterback, excellent football player, excellent athlete, but more importantly, like, excellent human. So I just want to make sure we emphasize that as we go through this podcast as well, because obviously your stats stand for themselves, but I feel like sometimes that's what people will remember too about you. You know what I mean? Is that character as well. And we want to make sure that on our podcast, we're lifting up and emphasizing and giving voices to the stories of that as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit later as we go through the podcast with your season. But can we always like to start off with making sure we hear about kind of where your faith journey started and where that led to sports, right? So like, obviously you said you've been playing sports, really like been around it your whole life. Sounds like you grew up in a family that maybe went to church regularly or not, but I'm curious when the intersection happened, when you were like, oh, you know what, I'm bringing Jesus onto the field with me this game. Like, what was like the lead up to that?
So basically, like you said, my upbringing, I was upbrought in a Christian household. We went to church all the time when I was younger, and my family, my mom and dad were brought in the same exact environment. My sister, we were a church family. And you know, as time got on through middle school and kind of freshman year, travel baseball started, and it was kind of hard to get to church on Sundays with Sunday games and morning games and bracket play. So it was kind of tough. So we tried to find time when we could. And basically for me, you know, I didn't get baptized until my sophomore year. So leading up to that, I always asked my parents, like, I want to get baptized so much, but I don't think it's the right time yet. Like, I want to be ready. Like, how do I know I'm ready? And they just kept telling me, like, you will know, Trey. Like, you will know when you're ready. Just take your time. When your time is called to get baptized, you will get baptized. And like, I've always thought about it every single year, ever since probably third grade, fourth grade. And basically, I always knew of God, but I didn't know God. I always knew of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. You know, I didn't have that personal connection that I can feel their presence when I'm talking to them, or I feel their presence with me. But I grew up in a Christian household, so I knew it. So fast forward to my sophomore year, sorry. I had a season-ending injury, and this was like my first taste of not having sports. Like, my whole identity leading up to sophomore year was football. Like, if you ask any, or sports, if you ask anybody who's, what's Trey's identity, they're going to say sports. Or what's Trey doing is going to be sports. So, like, sports were my everything. It's who I was. So when that was kind of taken from me and I couldn't pick up a football, I couldn't do anything, I was kind of in, like, a who am I? Like, why am I here? Like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? If I didn't have sports in my life, what would be going on? So that led me to start talking to Rep Dan, and he is a big, big factor in my testament and my journey of why I am, of who I am today, because he just helped me through it all. And he led me to Christ, and he led me to build a relationship with God and Jesus. And I thank him for everything. Mm-hmm. But
I love
so we talk and we meet every Wednesday from when I got hurt all the way to now. We still meet up every single Wednesday. And it'll be FCA calls for an hour talking about the word. And basically, as my faith grew stronger, I started reading the scripture more. I started praying more, listening to gospel songs. We would talk all the time about God. I started posting more about God. I just started figuring out, like God is a part of me. Like, he truly is. And it turned into me having sports as my identity, is God as my identity. So I got baptized that sophomore year. So it's kind of crazy how everything tallies up that I get baptized after I had the worst injury of my life. And also, I was kind of in the worst headspace of my life. You know, it's tough going through that whole thing of sophomore year getting hurt. And now I'm going into my junior year where, you know, I got to start. Like, this is the year that I got to play if I want to play in college. And now I'm coming off an injury. So, like, you know, it's all in the question. So, that made me really reflect on everything and reflect and lean on God. In that whole situation, I had to lean on God. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to today, is my walk with Christ has been every single day. I'm walking with God on my heart. I'm walking with the armor of God. As soon as I wake up, as soon as I'm asleep, as soon as I go to sleep, it's all the time, 24/7. So this whole season has been a testament of I'm playing for Christ. I'm playing for God. I'm playing, again, for that armor. We've talked about, me and Rev talked about having Jesus on the front line, allowing him to fight that Friday night battle for me, you know, through the thick and thin, through adversity, through obstacles, through anything that's coming, allow him to fight that battle, because I know he will overcome it. I know he will win. I know he will help me be victorious. So that took out just the unsureness, the doubt, the anxiousness, the anxiety. That took out all that stuff of the questions of, oh my gosh, am I going to do this? How am I going to perform? Are we going to win? It took off all the questions because I knew it was in God's hands. I knew that everything leading up to me brushing my teeth in the morning to playing that game at 7:30, I knew everything was in God's plan. And he already had it written. And I knew he wasn't going to forsake me. I knew he wasn't going to do me wrong. So I knew I was in good hands. So I went out there. I trusted in God, and I just let him take the wheel. I prayed before every game. We walked the field, and I'll tap the goalpost 5 times and tap my chest 5 times and look up at God. And then I'll walk. I'll stop at the 5-yard line and pause for 5 seconds, like a moment of silence. Then I walk to the other 5 across the field, pause for 5 seconds, go to the opposite goalpost. I'll pray. And it's just like I got way better with praying this year. Like, I really felt like God and Jesus' presence on my heart when I was praying this year. And I've never felt anything like that before. But basically, throughout the season, those prayers turned from 2 minutes to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was just basically just me talking to God the whole time. And I walked back, stop at the 5. I walk back to the other 5, stop at the 5. And then I go back to the goalpost, tap my chest 5 times, tap it 5 times, and give all glory to God. And before my game, I'm a team captain. So we walk out early before anyone. And basically in that little pause area before we walk to the 50-yard line, I give myself words of affirmation through God. Like, with Christ, I can do everything. Like, God is my savior. God will place above her protection on that field today when I go out and play. God will allow me to use my God-given talents when I go out there to battle. You know, he will let us have the strength and give us the courage to win and look adversity in the face and overcome it. So that has changed my life forever, and that has changed who I am as an athlete and as a person.
Man,
I don't think we need a
done. That's the end. That's awesome.
I think we could just, use the last 5 minutes and just make the whole episode.
No, yeah,
that's about that. We're done. Trey, that's like gold in every single. What?
Sorry, you can tell when we both get excited and want to say something. Yeah. It's a race to get the words out. Go ahead, Ryan.
Look. Okay. No. Amazing stuff, like everything. I mean, I don't know what to, you know, ask first.
I do.
Okay. I think of something.
Well, I'm curious. Well, I just want to say, but can you tell us why five? Why the five?
I was thinking that. That was one of my questions. 5 to 5.
Robbie Roper was number 5.
Okay, so, and that's your? Like,
passed away.
That's your?
At Roswell High School. And okay. I looked up to him in middle school as, you know, the starting quarterback, the guy, the team leader, who everybody loved. And not only on the field, but they would tell me stories of how he was off the field, that he accepted everyone, that he loved everyone. In his classes, he would make friends with everybody, make jokes with everybody. He was just a great guy all around, and that's who I kind of aspired to be.
Do you think that's what kind of led to, you know, we talked about earlier, you know, you had a teammate, Jake, on your that's in your class with Down syndrome, that you had shared your homecoming crown with. Do you think that was a part of that, because you learned about how he treated people, accepted everybody? Can you tell us about that? About like when?
Please go into that story. That's like, you know, definitely like something super cool. You don't see like really anywhere. So it was just like so cool to see that. See that moment.
Yeah, I think that ties in with
a combination of Robbie and then my family. You know, my upbringing has been my mom and dad and sister always taught me like always do good for others. Like if you're not doing good for others, then why are we here? You know what I'm saying? So it's always make others feel welcome, make others feel accepted, treat others how you want to be treated. You know, the kind of basic stuff of that. And again, as I grew in my faith and stuff, I started being able to treat others with godly love, that same godly love that he loves me, no matter my differences, no matter my mistakes, no matter who I am as a person. He loves me no matter what. So I started viewing everybody in the eyes of God. And basically going up to homecoming, and this is like, again, God's calling and everything's crazy and timing. So I never signed up for Homecoming King. I walk into like down to PE one day, and my coach D's like, don't get mad, but I signed you up for homecoming. I was like, huh? He was like, yeah, I signed you up. You're a football representative for homecoming. I was like, all right, Coach D. I was like, all right, I'll do it. I was like, it's senior year. I might as well make memories. Like, it'll be fun. And then they end up telling me, like, who's all in the race and new stuff. And I saw Jake. I was like, okay, yeah. Like, no brainer. Jake's going to win. Like, our whole football team is going to vote for Jake. Mm-hmm. The whole grade and school is going to vote for Jake. So even I voted for Jake. So we were going on throughout the week. And the homecoming committee and a few assistant principals pulled me aside, and they're like, okay, Trey, so basically you're leading in the votes right now. So, like, you're projected to win the homecoming crown. And we started talking about it, and we came up with the conclusion of how we're going to give Jake the crown. Mm-hmm. So they never really told me how we were going to do it. So I kind of went out there. My heart's beating fast. I'm freestyling a little bit. I'm like, all right, what's going to happen? Are they going to call Jake's name and then we all hype him up? Or are they going to call my name and then I run over and give him the crown? Are they going to give the crown to me and then I give it to him? Like, I ain't know. Are they going to call Jake and Trey? Like, I ain't know what was going to go on. So basically, I'm with my parents and my sister, and we're sitting there, and then they end up calling my name, and the whole stadium just erupts. So now I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, all right, how am I going to get this crown to Jake? Like, the whole stadium just is yelling my name, they're screaming, they're hollering, like, it's crazy. So I run up to the whole committee and all of them, and I grab my crown, and like, you can see, like, kind of in the video, I'm a little anxious, like, my mom was saying it, like, I was trying to, like hurry up and get the crown and all that stuff so I can go run over. And basically, they finally gave it to me. I didn't even let them put the cape on my back. I grabbed it. I ran over to Jake. I gave him the crown, and you could see his parents' faces just light up with straight joy. And you could see Jake smile like he always does. And I gave him it. He put the crown on upside down, of course, so I had to redo it. And then the whole stadium just went crazy. Like, that's the in-game. I can't really hear, obviously, the stadium or anything that's going around, because I'm kind of, like, dialed in the moment. But yeah. That's the first time I've ever heard it that loud. Like, it was something crazy.
I'm not crying or anything. Well, I think that's amazing too. Like, his parents and his face and that pure joy and that act, you know what I mean? Because I told you when we spoke on the phone that first time, you know, we have a 5-year-old that is pre-verbal, right? He's starting to say some words, but you know, one thing you always think about is what's life going to be like in school. And obviously we're optimistic proactive parents doing everything you can. But when you see stuff like that, I think it's really encouraging as parents too, to know that like there's going to be kids around that are going to be kind and
right.
inclusive. And so,
yeah, exactly. So just to give people an idea of like Jake, like, did, you know, Jake, in terms of like high school being a favorite and stuff, do you want to shed some light for listeners to be like, hey, why Jake?
I mean, he's on the team, right?
Does he just bring like a smile to everyone's face? I mean, cracking jokes. I mean, what's Jake like?
Jake was a part of the Roswell family and part of the team before I even got to high school. So leading up eighth grade, he used to run out with the team and hype them up before the game. So when I joined in as a freshman, you know, my freshman class welcomed his love. We welcomed the love that our teammates portrayed on to Jake. You know, we had a lot of teammates that partaked in the CBI program, which is like the special needs program to go just hang out with the kids, watch scene and 10, all that stuff. And that's what me and my senior receiver, Wills Campbell, number 10 does every Tuesday, or we try to do it every week. It's either Tuesday, Thursday, it don't matter. Mm-hmm. But we go out one day and we'll spend like 30 to 45 minutes with them and watch scene in 10 and just hang out with them. So it kind of carried over of just like a welcoming them with open arms. Mm-hmm. And it was like no hesitation. And that's why I say like, Jake has always been the hype man. He's always been making jokes. He's always laughing. He led us in chants. Like from my freshman year, he still does the same AYO chant, and we say AYO after he says it. It doesn't matter where we're at, if we're eating, if we're in class, if you hear AYO, you better say it back. Like, as we all know that. But he's always been a hype guy. He comes in before the game dancing, hollering, screaming, like, let's go. Like, it's time. We finna beat him. And he's talking, and we all laughing, and we having a good time. But yeah, he's always been that kind of make your day type of guy.
That's perfect. And I want to meet Jake.
I do too. So when we were watching the videos, we're like, this guy, he looks so happy, like a good time. And you got to hang out with him at the SEC championship game.
Oh, yeah. We had a ball, but we didn't have a ball because Bama lost. So me and Jake were screaming like, no, I know. What are we doing? Like, Jake is like, we were losing. And Jake literally screamed. He's like, oh, my gosh, we're losing. I'm just like, yeah.
I see it. Yeah.
Do you want to maybe share what the next few weeks or like week or two is like for you? Like, obviously, once the media got a hold of the video and everything, what was that like with, you know, companies reaching out and
a lot of people.
Media reaching out? Obviously, you got some great tickets to a great game. I mean, I'm sure you weren't expecting it and weren't doing it for that. But what was the next like?
Yeah, so like again, like I didn't think anything of it at all, because again, our community is so great and our team is so great that anybody else in that position is doing the exact same thing. And that's just the kind of love that our community and our football team shares with everybody. And so I'm thinking like, okay, like it's cool for our like community, it's cool for what happened at Roswell High School, like the people at Roswell High School and the people at Roswell will be talking about it of what happened because of how crazy the stadium went. And basically all I see in the next couple of days is I get tagged and stuff, and I'm like what, like what am I getting tagged in? And it's just reporters and other stuff posting at first initially the video, and I'm like, okay, like that's cool, like I repost it, whatever. And then it goes viral, and then everybody starts posting it. Overtime, Max Preps, World Star, all these different like big sports and all these different big time accounts start posting the video, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is going like worldwide, like this is crazy.
Like viral.
Yeah.
Viral. And then it started hitting on news stations, Channel 2, Fox 5, all these different and it's hitting from places out of the country. Like I'm seeing foreign stories about it, and I'm like, no, this is not real. Like, ain't no way. And it just continues to go. I get people to reach out for me, and of course, you know, my family is like we will talk about who to interview and what to say, like what to say and how to approach interviews and stuff. And it was a lot more than I thought it was going to be. Cause you know, again, I thought it was just kind of like a small act that anybody else would do. And, but it came a big way for Jake, and I'm happy that it came a big way for others too, that it allowed other people to feel the sense of joyness that Jake felt. Cause that was like the biggest thing that I took from this, is when my favorite comment was that it was something like, in this week of like dark news and all the stuff going on, like this just brighten up the whole week. Like this is the thing that we needed to make us happy. Cause I think it was a pretty stressful and dark week, with some bad stuff happening, around the country. So I just love that I could kind of bring that spark for everybody in somebody's life.
People crave that. You know what I mean? Things are dark and gloomy and you know, it's like so many people, I don't know. I feel like the internet sometimes has turned into a place where all people do is argue back and forth about things or troll people. So when you see those kinds of things, it's a breath of fresh air and kind of renews your faith a little bit in humanity, you know, and just, and it gives people those chances. And that's what I'm saying it too. Even like, you know, that's coming out of, you know, who you are as a person, but you seeing everybody the way God sees everybody, you know, and it's, you know, showing people that, right? Like, I didn't know where I was going to go with that, but kind of like, I'm just saying, like, I think like people sometimes forget that, like, the bigger picture, you know what I mean? That we're all God's children, that we're all created equally, that we're all here to love each other, essentially, you know? And we forget about that because so many things happen in the world and so many things cause divisiveness. And so I think anytime you see an act like that, it's just like, people subconsciously know, like, that's how we're supposed to be. And it kind of renews their, you know, it made me think, like, what am I?
I agree.
How am I
and
treating people, you know?
What's even cooler, I mean, not cooler, but in a lot of ways, like, you're, you know, getting pretty well recognized in the state already, you know, with like leading the state in yards and, you know, so you have all the statistics and everything. So I just think that like purely goes to show of like, you know, your heart and everything. So it's really cool for people to see like, look, this guy's, you know, Mr. Georgia Football Player of the Year, you know, a finalist, you know, hopefully you can win it and everything. But like I said, what's more important is the heart and like giving others, a light to shine and everything. So that's absolutely perfect. So we want to meet Jake. If we ever get the chance to meet you and Jake in the future, definitely want to do that. But so thanks for sharing all of that. I know it was a big moment in your life and everything. So let's maybe hit on decisions and everything where, you know, obviously you're, you know, at Roswell now and the recruitment process where you're currently committed now to Furman, right? So going to play a quarterback there in the 2026 season coming up. So do you want to take us through what things looked like recruiting wise for you with there, if you wanted to play football or if baseball was even an option you maybe wanted to do instead, what'd that look like, you know, the last 1 to 2 years for you?
Yeah, so my biggest goal ever was to play football and baseball in college somewhere at the Division I level. And, you know, leading up from all the way until about my junior year, like it was looking like okay, like I'm really going to do it. Like I hit 545 my junior summer leading up to football season, and I had a great football season. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm about to play both. And
did I hear that right? 545?
Yes, sir.
That's... Yeah.
I was hot that season.
That's like, I don't know if I've ever seen a number that high, but yeah, anyway.
I've never hit that good in my life.
Well, hey,
I hit 545 and you know, I felt like in baseball, like I was gonna get recruited by a lot of schools and be able to play both. And then going up to my senior year, kind of didn't have the summer I wanted because of having a new coach come in. So I had to be a football a little bit more. I had to take time for football. I didn't really train for baseball much. There was times where I took a week or 2 weeks off of a baseball and then go back for a tournament and I go like 0-7 or 0-9 because I haven't hit in 2 weeks. And it was just kind of a tough little time period of baseball. But, you know, God makes everything clear and he made it clear that my calling would be for football. And if my calling is for both in the future, I can – obviously, that's part of his plan. But basically, my football recruitment was kind of up and down. It was a stressful recruitment process. It was a little shaky at times, too, because, you know, I was a late bloomer. I started my junior season. It was the first time I ever started and the first time I ever really got in a varsity game and people, you know me. And I got put on the scene right then and there. Also coming off elbow injury that, you know, changed the trajectory of my life. So basically my recruiting has always kind of been, again, up and down. I've gotten recruited at every level, big schools, small schools, D2s, Power Fours, ACCs, some little like SEC, like, but it's been all over the place. And basically, like, the biggest thing has kind of been, like, you know, I'm a 6-foot quarterback that has a different arm angle. So not a lot of coaches want to just, like, take a chance on it because, you know, you can only get one quarterback. So there's been a lot of factors and a lot of stuff that's gone into my recruitment. But I ended up having 4 offers out of my junior year going into football season. And I committed in the summer to Furman. Basically, I was a big sign guy. So, I called upon God. I asked God, like, where to lead me? Like, what is my decision? What will make me find home? Like, that was one of the hard, the picking of who I wanted to go was the hardest process. And I prayed to him, and then a couple weeks later, Furman offered. And when Furman offered, it was kind of like, it almost felt right. Like, something felt right on my mom's heart, on my dad's heart, and, like, in my soul. And then there was all these different signs. So Furman's purple, my mom and dad's alma mater is University of North Alabama. They play basketball there, and that school is purple. Coach Roper is the offensive coordinator. His name is Coach Justin Roper. And Robbie Roper is a big figure in my life. I wear his chain on my neck every single day, and even his bracelet that has a signature on it every single day. And I approach life to live like 5, and having that Roper connection already is like, okay, that's 2. And then I got this sign in my room with my cousin on it. He played at Chattanooga, and that's where I really started to fall in love with football. When I was 2 years old and 1 year old, I used to run around the field, and they used to throw me footballs after his game, and that's where I kind of fell in love with, like, I love this sport. Mm-hmm. Even though I started out with baseball, but I still love football too. And basically, I've had this sign up in my room since I was in 3rd grade, and if you look down on it, it has Furman in the conference, the SoCon conference. So not me looking at it, I haven't looked at the conference in I don't even know how many, and I've never looked at that sign and looked at the names and known kind of what they are. Yeah. Until I got recruited by the SoCon offense, and I was like, SoCon. I was like, oh my gosh, Chattanooga's in here. So I went up one day, I looked at it, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Furman. So that's kind of like a God putting where my destiny is without me seeing it. Like a testament of God has everything that's already written in your plan, and you don't even know it yet. Because I just turned the page. Like, I had so uncertainness of where I wanted to go. If you ask me my freshman year of where I thought I was going to go, I thought I was going to go to Bama. If you ask me my junior year of where I thought I was going to go, I thought I was going to go to, like, a low FCS and then transfer up. But I ended up at Furman, a great spot, a beautiful place, a great coaching staff, a welcoming family, a great brotherhood with the team. They open people with open arms. They work hard. They put their head down. They're very big in their faith too. So Furman used to be a very Christian school, and like it was because of the private school. Now it's not a private school anymore, but it's still a big Christian school. So they have a church on campus. My offensive coordinator goes to church. Like, we literally talked about that on my unofficial visit of how he goes to church and stuff. And the players do, like, huddles, and the players all, like, believe in Christ, and the players all post about God and post about their verses and all their type of stuff. So, you know, it just felt right of kind of who I am. And then, you know, if my mom feels good about it, then I feel good about it. So
that's like, right. Moms know best.
Yeah.
I love that. That's
a great rundown. And I love back to the decision, you know, for Furman, it's been right there the whole time, right, for you. So it's
I want to know if it's the 5th team listed, because that would be cool.
it was the 4th, actually. Okay. Crazy. I want to get a crazy goal. Yeah. Citadel offered after I got Furman.
Okay.
Got it.
Well, you obviously have a, you know, bright future ahead. You know, pretty well-decorated high school football career, and obviously hoping for, you know, that to continue on at Furman and everything. So they definitely, I'm sure they're excited to have you.
I'm sure they are.
So you were talking about, so back to more like integrating, you know, faith within sports and everything. I mean, you said some awesome stuff at the beginning of this podcast about allowing Jesus to fight your battles, and how Jesus gave you peace and, you know, comfort, level-headed. A lot of athletes say, you know, Jesus lets them play free, right? Because there's no pressure and stuff. So Do you just kind of want to talk about that a little bit more and maybe dive a little bit deeper there? I know you mentioned praying before games and everything, but dive a little bit more if you could to when it comes to actually praying during the game and how you think Jesus helps you a little bit more and your take on all that.
So he gives me my strength. He gives me the sureness that everything's going to be okay. So in times of worry or anxiousness throughout a game or even at life, if I'm driving and I'm feeling anxious about something, you know, I ask kind of God and Jesus to take that weight off my shoulders and hold my burdens. So automatically when I say that, I feel a sense of relief off my chest. And then throughout the game, like anything, I'll say little prayers or like a God, I know you got me, like allow me to, you know, play fast, play smart and play calm, like stuff like that. And just those words of affirmation allow me to play loose and play how I did. And Jesus just, again, that armor of God is truly real. Like when my favorite verse is Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God so that ye may be able to withstand the wiles against the devil. So that basically just means of in anything before you do it, put on the armor of God and you will be protected because God has you. God already knows what you're going to experience. He knows what obstacle and trial and tribulation you're going to go through. And he's never going to give you anything you can't handle. So that's the biggest thing for me is God's never going to give me anything I can't handle, but he might give me something I can't handle alone. So it's about fighting that battle with him. If I can't do it alone, I have to do it with God. I have to do it with Jesus because that will allow me to overcome it. And this whole season, I've also been in the mindset, again, that if God wants me to have it, you know, we're going to have it. Like, if God wants us on this path, if God wants us to obtain this goal, we're going to have the goal no matter what. So, going into the biggest games, our rivalry versus Milton, where they beat us 7 years in a row, and that game was for a region championship. It was my mind the whole week was calm. If just straight, like, if God wants me to have this game, like, we're going to have this game. And what you know, we went on a 48-yard field goal. And with 30 seconds left. So that's that in high school, having a kicker that can kick that 40 yards is crazy. And him making it and that pressure in that situation as well. And obviously, you know, coming up to now, going to the championship, again, playing TCC, my mindset was, in the semifinals, my mindset was, if God wants us to have it, we will have it. Like, we will win this no matter what if it's in God's plan. And, you know, we didn't get the result we wanted, and our plans didn't align, but that's okay because it's God's plan. Also, I'm a believer of whenever you fail, whenever you drop down or you're not successful, God always has something in store for you coming up. Like, it's almost like a test, I would say, of like, here's a setback. Now, will you lean on God or will you lean on other worldly things? Like, it's time for you to lean on God in those times of struggle and stress so that now he can reward you for that. It's not going to, because he's not going to give you a setback for no reason. He's not going to give you an obstacle for no reason. It's just a kind of test almost you of your strength, of your faith strength, of how much do you really lean on God? How much do you believe in God? I have one crazy story this year. I played Westlake, and it was after Buford. And I wear like a nose strip thing, and I write on it every single game. And basically this game, it was like a bounce back one. And in my head, it was thinking like bounce back from Buford because I threw 4 interceptions. And it was kind of like a bounce back week. And basically the first quarter of Westlake, I played the worst football I've ever played in my entire life. Like the worst football. Like I had 4 turnovers. I had 2 picks and I had three picks and a fumble. And that was like the worst half I've ever played in my life. And basically that bounce back was God put on my heart to bounce back from this. Like this was the ultimate test was would I crumble of having 2 back-to-back weeks of a failure? Would I crumble? Then that second half, I came out and I threw for 200 something yards and ran for 100 yards. And we ended up winning the game and I had 5 touchdowns. So it's like,
wow.
That testament of trusting God through it all those failures of me playing the worst half I've ever played in my entire life of football. Like my dad was saying, he's never seen me like that. My teammates were saying they've never seen me like that. Like it was crazy. But having the trust in it of I know that God is going to have me. I know that God's going to have me through it all, through failures, through tough times, through anything. It's just a reassurance of that I will be okay no matter what because I'm his soldier.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're a senior in high school?
Yeah, this is
not like
okay.
Yeah, you're in the past 2 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what you've been talking about here. you know, your faith. And like a lot of people don't have that perspective, you know, when they lose and everything, or they'll
especially
just
young
get,
athletes.
Yeah, they'll just get so bitter and not understand, you know, it's a, you know, a part of God's plan. And you're already like way ahead of the game, like understanding how to use that to rely on God more and rely on Jesus more and how to get better.
Yeah.
Right. You're not dwelling and blaming anything. Right. And I hate to say, but I think a lot of people can become envious of those other teams. And I, you know, we were both athletes. It, you know, it's not fun to see the team you lost against, you know, kind of continue on and play. You're like, ah, if we just did these five plays different, we would be there. You know, it's easy to get envious too, but at the same time, hey, they earned it on the field, right? So I got to look at myself even harder and get better in a lot of ways and rely on my faith more. So that's awesome. You already have all of that. So something tells me you're going to be all right. Relying on that faith. So
yeah. And I'm glad you talked about that too, because I wanted to ask as well, because I think a lot of athletes, so maybe if you would give some advice to other young people listening to this, because people do, like, they work so hard, they have a goal, we have this set in our hearts, God wants us to win the championship, right? Like, they think that, right? Like, they have that already made up in their mind, like, I know God wants me to be successful and do this. And then when that happens, right, and you don't win that big game that you need to win, should have win or whatever, and obviously yourself, you have the right aspect. I'm sure it wasn't easy. I'm sure you were upset. I'm sure there's time to be upset about it. That's okay. But, and you maybe had to talk to some teammates. Maybe they reacted differently or needed you or other Christian athletes on your team's guidance on how to deal with that loss. But what would you tell like young athletes that work so hard and lose a big game and that challenges their faith?
So, So again, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm still learning my life. So again, after that game, you know, I was heartbroken. Like I was bawling my eyes out. I was crying. Like there's just so much emotion and work that we put into it that I just wanted so bad and ended up didn't get it. But then I came back, I reset it. Next couple of days, I took time to myself to really gather peace. And it's all about trusting in God's plan and knowing that everything is for a reason and knowing that your story is his story, and that your plans and what you want to happen may not happen because it doesn't align with his plans. I wanted to be a 4-star recruit with 40 offers, and my plan didn't align with his plan, but his plan was better for me. It allowed me to grow in faith. It allowed me to be a better Christian. It allowed me to go to a school that harps on Christianity, a football team that harps on Christianity. So it's all about trusting the process. It's all about being okay in failure, looking adversity in the eyes with God being your protection, being able to fail, get back up, dust yourself off, and attack the next obstacle with God, attack the next thing with God. Like never blame God for what's happening. Like I know before, again, my sophomore year when I got hurt, I was a big, like, why me, God? Like, why give this injury to me my sophomore year going into junior? And from that day on, I've never said those words ever again. It's a thank you, God. I appreciate you, God, for this journey. I appreciate you, God, for letting me go through this pain so that I could feel the joy that you gave me after. And that's all it's all about, is everything makes you stronger. Everything is a part of your story. It makes you who you are. So don't get discouraged when you fail. Don't get discouraged when stuff bad goes on, or when you don't fret or have anxiety when you face obstacles and these trials and tribulations. You just have to look at it and know that you're going to overcome it eventually, because you have the armor of God and that you have the presence of Jesus Christ within you.
That's perfect. And I love how you referenced your favorite verse again as well with all of that. Amazing rundown, and I don't think it could be said really, you know, any better in a lot of ways. So absolutely love that. And, you know, a lot of people view quarterbacks as leaders. I mean, you are naturally, you know, it's a leadership position and everything. So can you talk about maybe your teammates and everything? Maybe, I don't know, someone that might not have as much influence as you, you know, being a quarterback and everything, because obviously the whole goal of Christianity is to spread the gospel, right? So you're doing that, of course, through actions, and I'm sure, you know, mentoring and, you know, answering questions and stuff. But how does that maybe work when you're trying to spread it to teammates, and how is the team dynamic with Christianity? where you're at.
So our team dynamic, we were really big on faith this year. Like through my 4 years of high school, maybe freshman year or two, but this year was the strongest we've been with our faith as a team, as a collective. So we meet with FCA every Tuesday as a team. We have pizza. We have a guest speaker. Rev Dan has a guest speaker that comes out and gives us a word of encouragement with words of the scripture and God and implicates that into our game. So we had the most people there consecutively in the 4 years that I've been there. So that's the one thing. The two, last year we didn't pray. Freshman and sophomore year, we used to pray as a team before games, and we didn't do it my junior year. But this year, it felt a little different. It was we as players wanted to do it. As players, we did it. We prayed before the game all together, locking arms, again, putting on that armor of God before we went out to battle. And another thing that has never been done is our coaches prayed together. Our coaches, all of our coaches would circle up, lock arms, and pray and praise God. And just seeing that, presence of Jesus, that presence of the Holy Spirit within us before we go out to play, within us at practice, within us throughout the week, was something that, most teams don't experience. It's knowing that, again, we always talked about it. We would send messages in the group chats before the game. If God wants us to have it, we're going to have it. That was our biggest thing. That in God's plan, if he wants us to obtain this goal, nothing will stop us. We will be unstoppable. If it's written for us to win this game Friday, we will win it by any means, whether if it's by 1 point or whether if it's by 30. So attacking it with that presence is crazy. And the best thing about my teammates is one of my teammates asked me a couple months ago of hey, let's start a Bible study after the season. Because, during the season, it's kind of hectic and trying to find time. But after the season, let's do it. So throughout the next couple of weeks, maybe next year, we're going to start a Bible study on Zoom for whoever. And it doesn't matter if you're a football player or a soccer player. We're going to just hold an open Bible study, and we'll all meet on Zoom on certain days and everyone can, and we'll try to get something going. Because, that having that spirituality as an athlete is the best kind of skill. Is the best kind of talent that you can have. Better than being able to run fast or jump high, or you're strong. If you have the skill of God and you have the skill of Jesus Christ with you, you will be undefeated, no matter if you fail or if you succeed.
For a lot of reasons you mentioned already, how it just makes you, feel, I don't want to say more powerful, but more peaceful in a lot of ways. That allows you to play more powerful and free. So that's great. So I just have one more question. It's kind of on the tail end of everything, bringing this in for a landing. Do you have any other things you want to dive into before we ask?
No, go ahead. Okay. I can't wait to see what you have to say.
Well, it has to do, I'm sure your answer might be a lot of, or relevant to what you've already said already, but let's take a third string freshman, scout team player, defensive end, whatever it is, linebacker, O-lineman, receiver, quarterback.
This is very specific.
I don't know. What would you tell them if they came up to you and were discouraged of their faith, discouraged of their playing time? What advice would you leave them, faith-related, non-faith-related, just what would you say to them if they are just struggling in life right now?
So I was that kid. My freshman year, I was a fifth-string quarterback behind four other quarterbacks, and I never played a varsity snap in my whole freshman year career. I got pulled up to varsity, but I never got in a game, ever, not one time. All my teammates did, and all my friends did, and that's where you talk about kind of that envious, again, I was young, we all have mistakes, we're still imperfect, and I had kind of had that jealousy of dang, why am I not out there? I put in so much work, I work so hard on and off the field in the weight room, I show up every single day just like everybody else, why can't I get a chance? Why can't I just get one play just to feel that joy of having that Friday night lights? And basically I really didn't learn till my sophomore year that, again, everything happens for a reason. All those experiences, everything that I went through, the good and the bad, allowed me to be who I am today. It allowed me to be the type of player and the type of person I am for my junior and senior season. My freshman and sophomore year, if those things didn't happen, I don't believe I would be the whole type of player I was these past 2 years. Because my freshman year, it allowed me to feel pain. It allowed me to feel heartbreak. It allowed me to feel like kind of, you know, self-doubt, self-hate. Like, it allowed me to feel those things for the first time in my life. Because, you know, again, when you're growing up, middle school and elementary school, playing, there's only 20 kids, so you're always playing. You're the starter, mm-hmm. always the guy, so there's no difference. So now when you get to high school, you're playing with three grades above you. So now it's like okay, now there's a little competition. So it's just, don't get discouraged. It's in the worst days, you just got to look it in the eyes, and you just got to thank God that you're even out there. You have to thank God that you're even on that field playing, because God is so precious, and it can be taken away just like that. And that's kind of what my mindset changed, especially after getting hurt, that it made me realize, like, no day's promised. Like, I have to attack every single day like it is my last day. I have to play every practice, every rep, every weightlifting drill like it's my last time ever doing it, because I was at a time where I couldn't do it. I was at a time where doctors told me that I wouldn't throw the same, or I wouldn't be able to lift the same. I wouldn't do these things. And, freshman year was a tough time, but it was an inspiring time. It was a learning time. I used all the knowledge that I obtained from freshman year, and I went to work. I threw every single day. I was working harder than I've ever worked in my life before. I was going at it in the weight room, on and off the field, in the playbook. I was trying to be the best version of myself. And that's what you got to do in those situations, is you just have to give everything you have and leave it up to God. That's the biggest goal. If I can just give everything I have and have no regrets and leave everything out there, I did all I can do. And now it's up to God to determine if this is my plan or not, if this is my path or not. Because, again, my path was definitely not smooth and yellow line path. My path was a back road that was curvy and had potholes and had rocks in it and all this different stuff. And I had to navigate my way. And now to get to where I'm at, I'm just getting so blessed. And if you asked me my freshman year that I would be a Mr. Georgia finalist with being the record books at my school, I would just tell you, like, I dreamed of these things. Like, I have these goals on my wall that I typed out my freshman year, and I've hit maybe 40% of them, 30% of them, which is still amazing. And I'm just so blessed to be in the position I am. And I'm glad that I went through what I went through, because it allowed me to be close to God. It allowed me to find God and rely on Him with everything. And now I'm going to carry that on for the rest of my life.
Absolutely. I know. Being a late bloomer, you reference that often and beautifully explained there as well, too, because so many people want to quit on themselves too soon. And that's the journey's part. You can't shortcut it. You know, you can't shortcut what you're meant to go through. You just got to, no matter what that road looks like. Yeah, there's no shortcut away from the potholes. You just got to grip the wheel and just
hang on tight.
Just hang on tight for ride.
When you're down on yourself and you have a flat tire, and you know what you got to do. When you call on somebody else, you call on somebody to help you out, to pump that tire for you, to get it back right, to give you words of encouragement. And that's, again, the support team around me and my family around me that and people around me that have helped me throughout this whole process of when I've been down, have given me words of encouragement to get myself back up. I was also I'm a big, like, journal guy, so I journal. So, like, a big thing in my freshman year, like, you can see stuff that I've journaled my freshman year of going through those times, and I still read them. I read them this year of, like, looking back on it, like, wow, that was a crazy place I was in. Like, I was really down on myself. I wasn't playing varsity snaps. I had self-doubt. I had all this stuff of, like, am I enough? Like, am I a good player? Like, am I going to play in college? I had all this stuff. And you look back to now of just, like, I just thank God for it. Because I thank God for those obstacles. I thank God for that pain, because it allowed me to feel the success and the reward of this joy that I feel now.
Gosh, just want you to keep talking, Trey. You're doing so good.
I
love what you just said. Thank God for the obstacles. Who looks at it like, I mean, that's a good way to, the best way to look at it. Like, thank Him for those obstacles because of what you just said, you know, making you stronger and tougher and everything. So,
and there's a reason for all of them. You know, we've talked to you, and I'm sure you probably, go ahead.
No, you got it.
I mean, experience, like, it's like when people talk about their injuries and things, you know, it's like sometimes some people look at it like, well, it wasn't meant to be, or this sucks, or I'm not going to be where I want to be now. But then we've talked to some other athletes that are like, I learned more about the game because I had to slow down and I could learn and I could see things. So it's
my sophomore year injury made me go as a player from here to here. Like, mm-hmm. basically, one, as a sophomore, the biggest thing for me was, now I always was good in the playbook and the mental game of football, but now it took me to a different level because now I don't have the physical. I can't throw. So I almost turned into like a mini offensive coordinator. Like I would get a call sheet. I would do the signs. I would do all this different stuff that allowed me to look at the game as a perspective of a coach. So I took all those failures. I took the downs and I turned them into ups. I turned them into good. I turned the bad into good.
Yeah.
Again, I started watching film more. I started learning the game more. When I came back, I threw with all arm my freshman year. I never threw with my hips and my lower half. And that was always something we always tried to work on. So when I got hurt, that was God telling me, like, okay, like, this is your time. So God put on my heart that for 4 months straight, and shout out to my trainer, Coach Sean McVoy, for not thinking I was crazy when I asked a quarterback trainer to, like, let's go train footwork and let's go train without me throwing. So for 3 or 4 months, I trained every Sunday of just straight drops and the basics and footwork and hip firing and hip mobility and all this stuff without a football. Like, I would go to training with the towel, like nothing else. I couldn't even do the arm motion, but it was just doing all the drills and then fake throwing. Mm-hmm. All that stuff allow me to better myself. All that stuff allowed me to now put everything together now when I eventually was able to throw again, and allowed me to be more polished, allowed me to be the thrower I am. And again, for all that to happen, and then now I look at my senior year and I'm a 3,000-yard passer, and my coach said that I'm the only 3,000-yard passer he's ever had.
Wow.
That's God right there. And
yeah.
I couldn't thank him enough.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure 14-year-old Trey is thanking you, you know, right now for being persistent.
Yeah, I just love it. I love stuff like this. Is why I love sports so much, because I just feel like everything's so, like, integrated with life. And, like, I remember being my first year going into high school basketball. Like, I remember we didn't touch a ball for like a month. And I was like, what are we doing? And it was like, had to be drilled into my head that, like, obviously knowing our team, we didn't have a lot of size. So we had to outrun people. Like, we had to just, that's the kind of, so it's like, there's a reason for all of it. But I guess what I keep thinking about too, when you're talking about like doing all the footwork, doing all this, and kind of a parallel to our Christian life, where it's like, you can tell when the people are reading word every day, they're praying every day, they're around the right people. It's not sexy. It's not glamorous. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's doing those little things, but that's what makes you prepared for life, right? Like, was preparing you to be the quarterback you are. But we parallel that to our Christian life, as far as, like I said, reading and being involved and staying active in our faith prepares us for life, yeah, you know? And I think it's just important to realize that you got to do it. You got to stay consistent in your faith, you know, to build that faith.
And I also had about that is that, like, there's no such thing, again, as a perfect Christian. You know, we all have to learn. We're all imperfect. We all can be better in our faith, just like anything else in life. There's no such thing as a perfect football player. There's no such thing as a perfect student. There's always so much more you can learn.
Yep.
And where I'm going with that is, too, is, like, it's all about quality, too, as well. Like, that's something I learned of it's all about quality, not quantity. Like, me reading the Bible for 3 hours and not understanding anything I just read, right, isn't going to get me or isn't going to make me a better Christian. It's, can I read a scripture, a 3 to 5 sentence? Can I read a Bible verse? And then can I really deep dive into it and turn that into a 10-minute conversation? Can I turn that into a 5-minute journaling about it? Like, can I really understand what the word is speaking to me and how it's speaking to me? And that's what I've also learned of it, is that there, again, there's nothing such thing as a perfect Christian, and there's no such thing as I'm a better Christian than you. Like, that's another thing that people, my friends will, and people come on to me and like I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian like you. Like, I want to be more in my faith like you. And I'm like, you can't. It's the same thing. Like, I'm not perfect at all. I'm nowhere close to perfect. Like, there's so much stuff that I have more to learn. There's so much stuff that I need to exit from my life, and do more of or do less of. And it's just all about, again, quality and understanding the word and understanding what truly God is putting on your heart and to do.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I wish I was you when I was in high school, man. Yeah. I had to learn all of this. I'm learning all this way later in life. But, you know, my pothole road was a little longer, I guess.
Rev Dan, this is what happens when you, again, like you said, put in the work. When I met from my sophomore year every single Wednesday until this, I only met with him this week. I met with him Tuesday.
Yeah.
Doing that, it tallies up. It adds up. It allows you to be closer to faith and grow in your faith. And I'm not even close to my ceiling because there's still more stuff I need to do. I want to learn I still don't know how to really read the Bible yet. That's the thing that I want to learn in the next couple weeks or so is can I go in the Bible and just read a story and understand it? Can I have that knowledge of it? Right now, my strengths are scriptures and verses and talking about God and talking about what he's done in my life. My strengths are that. What I want to get to is that part. And now I'm kind of, let me backtrack real quick to football too. Like, this is random. I just forgot to say it.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite kind of stuff.
Before my games, another way I tap into the armor of God and tap into the presence of the Holy Spirit is, I don't know if I got my book, but it's on my Instagram. You can see it's God's Purpose. I read that right before we go out. So when I put my pads on and stuff, I read that. And while I read that, I listen to gospel music. So last year in my freshman, sophomore year, all I did was listen to straight rap before games, hype music, all that stuff. And then junior year, actually, I listened to like R&B, like slow songs to calm myself down because I got to be calm in the chaos, calm in a storm. But I never got the gospel. This season was the first ever time I've listened to gospel before games. And it changed everything. Like, it put me in an even calmer state than R&B did. It put me in an even calmer state than slow music did, than jazz did, than all this different stuff. It put me in a state of, again, that assurance that God is my everything. God will protect me. I listen to the same song before every game. It's never would have made it. I never would have made it if without God. Throughout those obstacles, my freshman and sophomore year, and even junior year, and even this year, I never would have made it without God. Without having God on my shoulder, without having Jesus on my heart, through it all, I never would have made it if I tried to fight all those obstacles and battles alone. And I just, again, thank God for everything. And I'm glad that the situation was a situation and the blessings that have come.
Wow.
Impressive.
Very. And, you know, it's hard for me. I'm wrapping my head around it now, but I was you as a freshman, sophomore, junior, listening to the rapped R&B, just like hype music. I'm a beats guy, so like I was just, I didn't like listen to the words, thank goodness, because yeah. Listening to
things he tells me he was listening to, I'm like, do you know what they're saying?
I didn't like really hear it. I was just the music, right? But yeah. Do you think that so it puts you more at peace in a lot of ways? Do you feel like, I don't know, I've just never listened to that, you know, before a football game.
Yeah, what's your go-to song?
Never would have made it. Yeah, yeah. Never would have made it.
Let me see what it's by. I'm going to give that's a recommendation to y'all after this, okay, to go listen to, because that's one of my.
Write it down.
What would you say to someone that thinks they need that juice, that adrenaline rush?
You don't. Jesus, you know? Is adrenaline.
I think, just like she said, spot on, that Jesus is adrenaline. So my teammate actually doesn't even listen to music before games because he said he doesn't play with music. He doesn't need that to juice him up. He doesn't need that to hype him up because he knows that he has God. He's a God-fearing man, and he knows that on that field that God is all he needs. And basically, it just, again, puts me in that mindset of playing for Christ. Like, that was my biggest thing for my senior year is playing. Can I play for Christ and not play for myself, for my own aspirations? Leading up after junior year, my goals were player of the week, player of the game, all this different stuff. And what's crazy is I didn't get player of the week, actually I did later on. But the first goal we got was team of the week. So that just put in perspective, like, okay, I didn't get player of the week, but we got team of the week in all of Georgia. So that kind of was like a, okay, God's working. Like, that's God telling me, like, don't do stuff for my own aspirations. So listening to that kind of music put me in that armor of God, put me in that presence of Christ of I have to play for them. I have to play for the man above. Like, I say that prayer again before every game is I'm playing for you, God, and I'm playing for you, Jesus. Like, I'm on this field because of you, and now I will play for you, and you will be rewarded because of it. So. That's the best thing I can say.
I have a just quick question about that, because I've seen a few players, you know, listen to like Christian music and stuff before game. Was that would you say a trend with your teammates, or do you see that being a I don't call it a trend, momentum picking up with it?
I think we also have a lot, not really, because we had a speaker too, so most people listen to speaker and they play the rap and stuff, but yep. Again, I put on my noise canceling headphones and had the blasting, and then what was great to see though is that throughout the season my linebacker on the defensive side, he would start reading his Bible before the game. So I saw it, the only time I saw it ever was the last game, TCC. He walked in, I'm reading my book, and he walks in and he goes like this to me, and it's his Bible, and he's smiling, and I nodded and I went like this, and we went back to reading. So it was kind of cool to see, because again, that's my job as a Christian, being a servant of God. That's my purpose in life, is to serve, be a servant of God, serve others, and also infect others with the word of God. And I use that word infect because it's almost like you want it to be like a sickness. You almost want to touch somebody with the word of God so it touches them and they get close to it, and now they spread it to others. Like, you want to just keep being an effect as a Christian of grabbing more people to be saved, grabbing more people to the word of God to experience the joy and the relief and the powerfulness that we experience from God ourselves and Jesus too. And that's like my biggest thing as a Christian is, can I be a servant of God and can I serve others?
I think you're doing it. And you're doing it well.
I think so too. And
you continue to.
Yes. I mean, sorry, my one question went to an extra
20. Yeah.
But like, I'm like, I got more questions. Like, you could just like talk forever. You know?
Trey, we're going to have to schedule a part two at some point.
Oh, I'm down. I'm completely down.
Okay.
That helps me. That's part of my journey too, of growing, is I want to be able to one day share my testament too, also, because I can't really form it completely right now. Because again, I it's all kind of all over the place, but when I can get it narrowed down and I can get a true testament, I would love to share that. And then also be able to speak at FCA huddles and have a scripture and talk about a scripture and do all that kind of stuff. I want to do that
for sure.
I love that. I think it's an always evolving thing. You know, my first thought too, going back to when you mentioned, like, I want to be able to like read the Bible, and it's like, okay, I'm maybe twice your age. Okay. So let me just tell you a little bit of what I've learned from reading the Bible is it changes. I'm like, how is this the same book every time you read it? It literally is a living book, right? Because yep. I'll read I've read the Bible I don't know how many times over my life, but it's never been the same every time I've read it. You know, it's always changing. Yep. And I'm like, are we sure this is what it said before? Because, right. So I love that so much. And I love that that's part of your aspiration to go out and to do that. And again, I think the biggest thing, you know, you're just talking about your experiences in the locker room and what you're doing versus what everybody else might be doing. And I think that's something we talk about all the time, is the whole, you know, that quote, the preach the gospel daily and only use words when necessary. So it's your actions really that are what's inspiring people the most. You know, everybody can talk the talk, but people watch what you do, you know? Yeah. And so I think that you're doing that. And I'm grateful to have that, you know, that kind of leadership in this generation. And I think that, gosh, do I sound old when I say that, in this generation? Oh. But I'm just saying, I do. I just think the atmosphere is different for collegiate athletes than it was when we played. And yeah. I think, you know, things are shifting and people are being more aware. And as you see those leaders rise up like yourself that don't have it always easy, right? It's easy for people who have just had a golden path to walk down to success. Sure, they can easily be like, God is good, and that's, they should be saying that. But I'm saying it's when people have to go through those hardships and they're just battle tested and they got dings on their armor, right? Because they're really going through the fight, you know, and
like that
and stuff. And so I think I'm appreciative of all that you're doing and continue. Yep.
And I'm sure you know there's more battles to come, right?
Yep.
they'll never stop coming. Obviously in sports, and then, you know, post sports career. But the thing is, sports teaches you more, you know, about life than a lot of things. And obviously we need influence and have Christianity into it as well. So that combination can get you through anything in life. You know, as you transition, God willing, right, a few years from now. After your sports career and everything. So got a lot of good football left. So do you want to tell everyone what's next for you. We're at Christmas break now, right? Your senior year. So what's next for you? What's the next like 6 months look like? Probably a lot of changes, you know, coming up here for you.
It'll be baseball season, finishing out my senior season with a bang of baseball and wrapping that up. And then training throughout that too, and training next week for football and conditioning and all that stuff. And then I leave up for Furman in June. And June 6th, and from there, I'm just going to hit the ground running. I'm again, like I said, I'm going to leave no doubt. I'm going to leave no regrets. I'm going to give it everything I have every single day. I'm going to be a servant of God. I'm going to try to rally guys around me, too. Again, be that leader that I am today, and continue to be that person. Continue to go up and be who I am, you know, not try to change myself to fit in, or not trying to change myself to do anything, because myself and God is what got me to where I am now. So why change it? So I go up there, be Trey Smith, go to work every single day, put my head down, again, still living the word, always find time for it. Throughout all the chaos, because there's going to be a lot of chaos, you know, going to college, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of training and practices. So it's going to be, can I find time for it? And, you know, I will make time for it every day. So I'm going up there again. Hopefully I go up there, I'm going to compete, go up there. Hopefully I get a starting job. Hopefully I get some playing time. But it's all in God's plan. So I'm just trusting it. I'm just living it out every single day. I'm just going to again, put my head down, go to work, and whatever God rewards me with, whatever God blesses me with, is what he is going to do.
Amen.
It's great you have that commitment of still making time for it, because that's the biggest hang up of where people lose their faith and question their faith a lot more once they get to college. You know, that freshman year, that first semester.
Busy.
You know, college is, you know, different ball game, right? And, you know, you're on your own, and, you know, it's about remaining accountable to yourself and, you know, accountable to your faith and with all the distractions, right, that come with being a, you know, football player and everything. So, but with, you know, your faith and the core of it, you know, obviously I have no doubt that, yes, challenging times will come. There'll be times where you don't want to go to church, whatever it is. You're so tired, can barely keep your eyes open, but like still praying, you know, so that kind of stuff, we know you're covered. So, all right. I'll close this out with a prayer, if that's all right.
Let's pray.
Trey. All right. All right, God, thank you for this amazing day, and thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity to live, love, grow, give, and serve our gifts for the greater good of this world. Please help us be all we were created to be. Help us be holy. Help us be saints. Send your spirit upon Trey, please. And we ask you to bless Trey, and as he finishes out you know, the semester here, and he begins baseball season. Please bless him as he trains for obviously baseball, then football coming up. Bless his career at Furman. And please as well, Lord, bless Jake, allowing Jake to, you know, shine through and send your spirit through him. We know that you are using Jake as a vessel as well to help glorify you, just like you're doing with Trey. So together, bless Trey and Jake and their families. Bless all the coaches that will interact and work with Trey in the coming months. Bless Trey's teammates and everything, so that you may shine through them and use football at Furman as an avenue to bring your gospel to the world, and send your spirit upon Trey that he might be a loud beacon there and bring the gospel to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Trey, this is awesome. I'm telling you, I remember like I was a senior in high school, just like it was a little bit ago, but
hi, Grandpa.
You're way ahead of, you know, your time. I haven't been called Grandpa yet, but anyways, yes, amazing hand on your shoulder. So yeah, stay down. You know, keep your head down in your faith, you know, like we know you're doing and everything. Obviously you're doing a great job, and we can't wait for, you know, the world to hopefully be inspired further with this episode here. So all right, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Trey, for hopping on the podcast. Have a great day. All right.